welcome you into the winter warm-up edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shopta, C70 at the bat, at C70, and with me as always is Tara Wellman, Tara Wellman on Twitter, Birdseeds on the YouTube when things are available. Tara's schedule not exactly conducive to that right now, but we'll get there. I know. Once things thaw out, we'll see some more bird seeds from Tara. I am promising you that. So, Tara, you have to now do it because I promised people. Okay?
Pressure's on.
That's right. Winter warm-up was this weekend. It's always the kind of the unofficial kickoff to a season. The players all kind of come through, and they talk to the media, and they sign autographs, and they raise money for Cardinals Care, and it's all a wonderful, great thing. John Mozeliak spoke to the fans, spoke to the media, and I think the biggest news that we got out of that was the fact that they think they have a closer. They think that Luke Gregerson not only will be the closer, but they signed him to be the closer. And we've been talking all winter pretty much about how Luke Gregerson was probably a nice addition to the bullpen, but you didn't really want to seem, you know, didn't really think he had to be the ninth inning. Apparently he's going to be the ninth inning. I don't know. What do you think?
That about wraps it up.
Yeah, isn't that what we got to say? I don't know what else to say.
It's pretty bad when I mean, we all know the challenges that the Cubs faced in their bullpen last year. Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad when I got a text from a Cubs fan friend of mine who said, and I thought our bullpen was bad. Yep, that sounds about right. It's interesting to try to sort of figure out if you can read between the lines and see if this really was the plan, like they're claiming now, or if they're trying to kind of cover the fact that they missed on the other closers that were out there, or at least that have been until this point. And that because they weren't able to get a trade done, or because they haven't really looked seriously enough at the guys who are available as free agents, you know, they're starting to go elsewhere, and the pieces are coming off the board, and the Cardinals don't seem to be in the mix on those more perhaps legitimate tried and true closer options. So they go back to what they know, and they go back to what they've done before and somehow done fairly successfully, although it's not a very repeatable strategy as far as year after year to replace your closer after the first month of the season with someone who just happens to be there. But that seems to be the trajectory they're on right now as far as the closer is concerned. You know, Gregerson's coming off a rough year where he was taken out of the closer role. There's always that hope that somebody will have a bounce back year and you'll reap the benefit of it. But it's really difficult as a fan base to put all of your ninth inning trust, in someone that you're hoping will have a bounce back year after the trouble that we saw in the ninth inning last year that legitimately cost the Cardinals a spot in the postseason.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like Gregerson. Again, I like Gregerson. I think he's better than last year's numbers indicate. He's been very successful in the National League, although he is getting a little bit older. I get all that. But it's not like he's been a closer like his whole entire career. I mean, this is just par for the course. He was a closer for, well, I mean, look at the numbers. He's got various saves here and there, but he's only had 10 or more saves twice, you know, 2015, 2016. And so he feels like, okay, he's that seventh inning piece, and you go out and get another closer, or get a guy that, like you said, more traditional, more expected. But the last one of those, or the last most likely one of those, came off the board this weekend as Addison Reed signs with the Twins. And it just kind of makes you think that they had this trade with Tampa Bay lined up, to get Colomé, and it just didn't happen, and then they spent enough time on that, like you said, everything went off the board, and they thought, okay, we'll go with what we got. Is it frustrating to you? Because I know we both are willing to give the organization pretty good benefits of the doubt, probably more so than almost anybody at times, it feels like.
Bubbly. Maybe. I've been called bubbly.
Yes. It, maybe because we read Twitter and we just seem more optimistic than
sure.
anybody well. On that side. But it becomes difficult, I think, a little bit more difficult, for me at least, to defend the front office. When we see this again, we've talked about we're going to make this big offseason. We're going to make this aggressive. We're going to do this. And the Ozuna trade was big. Now, don't get me wrong. They did do something. But it feels like, as I've seen Kyle Reese talk about, there's a lot of, right now, we're hoping for this and hoping for that. They had a chance to say, we know this. We know that this guy is going to be the closer. We know that this starter is going to be here. You know, they could have gone out and been very, almost over the top with their stuff and been, you know, contenders. And now, if this is the team that we're going to see, it's hard to say that they made the most of their offseason.
Absolutely. I think not only is it hard to defend the front office, it's getting nearly impossible to come up with logical reasons for the decisions that they're making. And that's not to say they don't have reasons, but it is to say that they have a perception problem, both the way the public perceives them and perhaps the way they perceive the market, the way they perceive themselves. We've talked before about the way that John Mozeliak seems to value players being drastically different than the way the rest of the market does. And that's a problem when that's the market you have to operate in. But I think what's concerning and frustrating to me is that we heard in July that they were going to be busy before the trade deadline. We heard at the end of the year they were going to be busy over the offseason. And we saw them go out and make a very legitimate attempt at bringing Giancarlo Stanton to St. Louis, which was huge. And then they followed that up with the Ozuna trade, which, again, anything immediately following a potential Giancarlo Stanton trade is a little bit of a letdown. But nonetheless, Ozuna was a good piece. It seems to be a good fit. There's some really great interaction that seems to be coming out of St. Louis in winter warm-up this weekend in relation to his friendship with Carlos Martinez and Yadier Molina that I think may be a really good thing in that clubhouse just as far as an intangible quality there. So this is not to say that that trade wasn't in and of itself a good deal. But for all the promises that were made, for all the talk about how much of the roster was going to be different by the start of the 2018 season, and all the commentary about the push for a closer being a top priority and the push for another bat, and even then being in on the Manny Machado conversation, I think that is what seemed to set this path in a different direction for the Cardinals. And when pieces started falling apart or things didn't work out, it's almost like they just settled back into what they're comfortable with. And what they're comfortable with is a plan that has led to back-to-back years out of the playoffs. And as a fan, it's very difficult to see that be where they've decided to settle, if in fact they don't make any more moves before spring. So that's where I think it's frustrating, is that it seems to be more and more unfulfilled promises that it looked like at the beginning of the offseason were going to be a thing of the past.
Yeah, and when you hear Mo talking about guys like Jordan Hicks and Ryan Helsley making an impact this year in the bullpen, it's all great and everything. I mean, everybody has been talking about Jordan Hicks for so long, but a lot this last year, so I'm really excited about him. But those are two guys that haven't, you know, Hicks has pitched like a handful of innings outside of Peoria, and Helsley, I think, maybe have made it to Springfield by the end of the year. These are guys that shouldn't be counted on this year. And they seem to be. I know they're talking about Alex Reyes as that closer spot, maybe, which seems, I don't know, kind of a waste.
How do you become American?
I don't know if that's, it's not, I guess. I mean, they're obviously wanting to limit his innings and stuff, and he could be very amazing in that spot, but I don't know. It just, like you said, it just feels like they've talked about it, and they still haven't delivered on that. And there comes that time where you've got to. I mean, this is a season that has to put everybody on notice. Because if the Cardinals miss the playoffs again, if they play yucky baseball again, people have to go. And it's not just Mike Matheny now. I mean, Mike Matheny's seat is warmer than it was, but I think the lack of activity this offseason really makes you wonder about Jumbo Zalock. I know they just gave him the big new title, but if you go 3 years and all you've added is, you know, Ozuna over those 3 years, because and Dexter Fowler, I mean, there's not been huge additions. It's kind of like, we're going to build with them. Eventually that doesn't work. So I don't know. I think there's, you know, there's a fan base that is very unsettled right now. Even, you know, even the ones that want to give the Cardinals a benefit of the doubt.
And I think it's the, what's more unsettling to me is not just one season, not just two seasons missing the playoffs. Listen, Cardinals fans, we say it all the time. Cardinals fans are extremely spoiled with the kinds of sort of dynasty-esque runs that this team has gotten on in several instances in the past. But that's the past. No one wants to look at the past as their only source of success. And as I would have to think that as a front office, you know, those guys should want to succeed as much as the players on the field do. And it doesn't seem like there's that same inspiration and that same intensity in the front office that we expect from the guys on the field. And when they don't show it, we climb all over them. Just look at what happened to Matt Carpenter last year. But when that intensity doesn't show up in the off-season moves being made by the guys in position to make those decisions, it's not really surprising that you don't then see that intensity on the field either.
Very true. I mean, it's kind of this cycle that kind of perpetuates itself, it seems like, or has been over the time period. Now, you know, again, the Cardinals at the end of the year last year were better than the Cardinals at the beginning of the year, it seemed like. I think they're probably better, maybe a little bit better than they were at the end of last year. But they could be so much better. So much that we could be talking. I mean, right now, we're not talking about taking over. I don't think anybody's really talking about the Cardinals challenging the Cubs. I mean, they could. Yeah. Cubs have their own issues. Their pitching staff is not overwhelming. So, and that's kind of significant. But still, they're the favorites for that division. You know, at least Garrett Cole's not in the division anymore. I mean, that helps, I guess. But, you know, you're looking at maybe the first or second wild card. I think that's all that right now Cardinal fans are expecting. And you hate to go into a season like that. I think you always want to go into a season thinking that you're going to be a contender, or really at least being able to talk yourself into if this works and this works. But I mean, now it's like if, and if the Cubs don't do this, and if that, you know, it's a lot of stretching the realm of possibility. And I hate that it's come to that, and when it didn't really have to.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, those question marks, and those potential points of success are up and down the lineup. I mean, if Miles Mikolas was your big addition to the rotation, there are just as many question marks in the rotation as there are anywhere else, in that line, or in that, on that roster. So when you're comparing apples to apples with the Cubs, the Cardinals pitching staff isn't really anything to write home about right now either. So, you know, there were so many ways that the Cardinals could have improved their roster this year, and there were so many times last season where the indication and even the point blank information given was that, you know, 60% of the roster could be different next year, or whatever the number was. Yeah. I don't remember what the quote was exactly, but the indication was, look, this is going to be a very different team because we're not going to keep doing the same thing that we've been doing that hasn't worked. And you've added Ozuna and Mikolas and Gregerson. Mm-hmm. It's not really what turning over most of the roster should look like. That's not to say this is a roster that can't be successful. We've seen crazy things happen, but it's certainly not a roster that on paper is the kind of drastic improvement over what we saw last year that it seemed the front office was prepared to go after.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you had said to anybody right after the season that 8 of your 9 starters on opening day would be the same.
Yeah.
As I don't think anybody, I mean, like, what is going on, you know, cause that's not what, you know, that's not the impression we got.
Yeah.
Granted, I mean, you've got Dexter Fowler moving over and he's not playing center and you've got Ozuna out there and the lineup looks, I think, pretty good. Assuming Tommy Pham keeps his contacts and, Paul DeJong did not actually read the Alamedes Diaz story. the lineup looks pretty good, but like you said, yeah, there's questions in the rotation, questions in the bullpen. To be fair, we're probably, underestimating the fact that Jose Oquindo is back, and so they're going to play at least 5 games better on defense and probably pitch at least 5 games better that way too. So
we can only hope.
Yeah.
Lock him into a contract for life. He's never allowed to leave.
Yeah, if they do that well defensively this year, then yeah, he's whatever it takes. And if it takes a new title, fine.
Which I would say, I don't want to discount the changes they made on the staff, because right. I think those are some significant changes. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, those guys are not the ones putting runs on the board. They're not the ones picking up ground balls on the infield. Those are not the guys making the plays. So there's only so much of an impact they can have. That's not to say they won't have an impact. I think Maddux is going to be a big plus for the pitching staff. But again, you have to have guys who aren't literally falling apart to pitch, no matter who your pitching coach is. And that seems to be a bit of a challenge these days for the Cardinals. So, those things are all great, and if that's what John Mozeliak and Mike Gersh are counting as their busy off season, I think they should probably start being more careful about how they talk about their plans. But I don't want to overlook those things. I also don't want to assume that those are going to be the thing that pushes this team over the top.
When they print the tickets this year, they're not going to put the pitching coach and the bench coach. On those, they're not gonna have they're not gonna have, you know, Mike Schilt's picture on those banners outside that Fox Sports Midwest puts up around the stadium. They're putting the players on there, and if, like I said, even if you just look at it from a strictly marketing point of view, you're bringing back what was a mediocre team, and you've added one, hopefully, star player, because you're still, I mean. There's not a, I don't think there's as many questions about Ozuna as there could be, but there are still questions about whether he can do this or what how he's going to fit into St. Louis, and you've only got all the blah, blah, blah. And so, you know, from a marketing standpoint, I think this offseason has been kind of a meh, because yeah, you're right. You didn't get Stanton. You know, there's the whole, the talk about, you know, Chris Archer that never happens. you're in on Greg Holland and Wade Davis, and, you know, even you can argue whether that's a good thing or not, but still it's buzzworthy, if you will. And at least Davis is off the charts now. It is difficult to see this team and feel like they've done everything they can do, but we'll see.
And you know, it's gotta be weird for the players who are currently on the roster, the guys who are at winter warmup this week. I was just reading some of Adam Wainwright's comments about keeping up with trade rumors and hoping they didn't trade Alex Reyes. It's gotta be weird for those players. Having heard, I'm sure, or read the same things that the fans have read about how different the team is going to be next year. And they know far better than you and I know what it was like in the clubhouse last year, and the ways things went wrong and how problematic so many little things seemed to be. I can't imagine that it's been a particularly satisfying or inspiring offseason for them either, to almost be looking over their shoulder all the time, because what if they're in the 50% of the roster that gets changed, and then to see not a whole lot happening. I just, you know, having not been in those shoes, I can only imagine that it's a weird thing to try to prepare for a season and not really see the changes that have been promised.
Speaking of things that seem a lot like 2017, I'm seeing that Luke Voit is practicing in the outfield. Again, you know, one, there's no intent for him to actually play out there on a regular basis or anything more than every other, you know, off day for somebody else. Two, they didn't start it in spring training.
At least there's that.
Yes.
A few more reps.
And three, he actually has played a little bit, not much, but more than Matt Adams had, in the outfield, in the minor leagues. I mean, it sounds like it's Voit just, you know, wanting to be the guy, wanting to have that extra skill so that when they make that last decision, he gets a chance to maybe make the team. That said, it's just, it's got to feel a little bit of like deja vu all over again, doesn't it?
All I can see when I close my eyes is Matt Adams crashing into the wall or falling into the corner. This is not a knock on Matt Adams at all, but I think that Luke Voit might be slightly more athletic, which could work to his advantage. But it also doesn't really seem like it's a thing that, I would like to think that the Cardinals, saw how that experiment worked out and would proceed with great caution if they were to even entertain that idea.
You know, I don't want to let this get away, because this is something that is very important that Tara especially wants to talk about.
Yes.
We are having the hair issue in St. Louis. We have John Brebbia, who shaved his beard. Apparently he likes to start fresh every year, which, I mean, I grew a beard because I don't like to shave, so I can get behind a guy that wants to, like, shave once and never have to worry about it again. I get that. But what more importantly is apparently John Gant holds the same process with his hair. Tara, you have talked about this with me for quite some time this weekend. I know this is like, you know, the one thing that you were going to take away from winter warm-up is John Gant's shoulder-length long hair.
He might have the most beautiful hair I've ever seen. I would be lying if I said I wasn't jealous. And I also want to know what hair care products he uses to put into practice myself. No, I was flipping through the Cardinals Snapchat, and all of a sudden there was a picture of one of the panels at a Cardinals caravan, and quite literally all I could see was John Gant and his hair. And I knew that he was a long hair guy, but I didn't, I had no point of reference for how incredible his mane was, and I'm still in disbelief that there are only two or three pictures floating around there. I mean, how is this not a front page story at this point? Because there's not a whole lot else going on.
Yeah, this is true. I mean, it is a huge deal. Now, I will say that first time I saw it, I didn't realize it was is him, because the picture that I saw from the caravan was they let all the kids go up front to whoever was speaking. I don't remember, but all the kids got to sit like real close, and John Gant sitting with them.
Right.
You know, and with his hat on and the long hair, I'm like, who is this guy? You know, who am I supposed to be seeing? And they said to him, well, oh, okay. Because, you know, we didn't see a lot of John Gant last year. It feels like, as we've talked a little bit about the pitching staff, we might see more of John Gant this year. I mean, John Mozeliak, like I said, that the bullpen shuttle from AA or from AAA to St. Louis might be more active than it was last year. It felt like it was pretty active last year.
Yeah. So, are they going to just, like, install a bullet train or something? Because I don't know how much more active it can get.
Well, and it's interesting because we talked a little bit about it on Meet Me at Mutual on Friday, but this idea that maybe they're going to do kind of like the Dodgers did, last year and use that 10-day DL a little more liberally. Like, oh, you sneezed wrong. Okay.
They should have done that.
Yeah.
They should have done that more last year with, I don't know, Matt Carpenter, Rosenthal.
I'm not talking about people that are actually hurt. No, let's not use it for
okay.
that. No,
all
no,
right.
no, no. I'm talking about the people that look, you know, slightly wrong. And
sure.
so you,
sure.
But yes.
I got it.
having some ability to, you know, because we talked about that. I mean, they talked about that last year. You saw the Dodgers do it. You know, they put a starter, we go two or three times to the rotation, and then they might wind up on the DL with a hangnail, which gave them 10 days of rest, gave them a chance to bring somebody else up from the minors, and then, you know, then they put somebody else on the DL or send them down or whatever. And then, you know, the little breaks here and there. It's going to be interesting not only to see if the Cardinals but other teams do similar things like that, and if they do, what that means for, you know, for the DL. I mean, will things change?
Well, whatever does or doesn't change, back to the important point.
I'm sorry. I got us off
John
track.
Gant needs to be on the shuttle to St. Louis as much as possible, just so that we can keep track of this hair situation, because you know, I've so many questions that I feel like will go unasked at AAA. So, you know, I need to know what his hair products are. I need to know, are there highlights in his hair? Because I feel like there might be highlights in his hair. And does he style it, or is it just naturally that incredible? See, these are the hard-hitting questions that no one asks.
This is true. I'm gonna really have to talk. You know, we had three of our blog brethren there this weekend, and Kevin Reynolds and Adam Butler and Joe Schwartz. And Joe, I mean, Joe's taking pictures of pitcher grips, you know, and things like that. I mean, how they hold the ball and stuff, and he's not taking pictures of Gant's hair.
I know.
I don't know what this kind of press.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I thought these guys knew what they were doing.
Amateurs.
You know.
Amateurs.
I don't know. We're gonna have to send Tara next year, obviously,
yeah.
to ask.
I'll get the info everyone really wants.
Things, but yes, doing a quick search of John Gant on Twitter, and yeah, there's two or three pictures, pretty much from all sides, I guess.
See, I'm telling you, you start to take it in, it's spectacular.
I mean. Yeah, I don't know how that.
Speechless.
I get, you know, minor leaguers, they don't pay minor leaguers much. I mean, we know this. Minor league salaries
right.
are not real great. And so I'm guessing that he's doubling as a romance book cover model.
It's fair.
And
I mean,
that would make sense.
Yeah. He could pull it off.
Yeah, that's a Fabio look right there. Especially if the right angles. I mean,
is it like, is he putting that, we used, when I was in like junior high, we would put sun in our hair to, like give yourself natural highlights. Is that what's happening here?
It may be. I mean, where's John Gant from? Yeah.
Once you go down this rabbit hole,
you can't get out of it. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I thought we were almost done with the show, and now we've got another hour or something here.
What you don't know is that I mentioned we needed to talk about John Gant's hair earlier, and Daniel's response was, well, there's probably enough there for a show in and of itself. Little did he know.
I was right. I mean, you know, every once in a while, I know what I'm talking about. Let's see. John Gant's bio. He apparently went to high school in Florida. That's where he was drafted out of. I assume that maybe he still lives down there. In which case, yes, the sun idea is possible.
It's a cheap, easy to keep up option, and he's in the sun all the time, right?
Right.
So, you know.
Now, I don't know how this works during the season when he's got the hat on.
Especially
in the day games, he's not getting the full effect of I don't know.
Maybe he's working on the highlights now so that they last through the season when he has to wear the
I think what's also very interesting, something that's maybe subtle in this, is the curl at the bottom.
It's magical.
I mean, it's not. This is.
I cannot get my hair to look like that to save my life. So again, these are why I need to know how this is possible. Because I mean, if that's effortless, like if he literally wakes up and his hair is like that, he might actually be magical.
Yeah, I mean, it's shoulder length, but it's coming up off the shoulder because it's got that curve at the bottom.
Flawless curls. How?
I mean, it has to be because, I mean, yeah, this time of year, maybe not. But if he's still got this going during the season, they don't have time for that kind of, well, yeah, I say that, but I take that back.
He might have time.
Because, I mean, we saw, Carlos Martinez could change hair color. So, I mean, they obviously have time for some.
It depends on how many times he has to ride the bus back and forth. Because that's time that he can't be, you know, styling hair.
More time to brush it, you know.
True.
I mean, if he's brushing
maybe
it,
maybe that's what keeps it so luscious.
Yeah, if he brushes it from Memphis to St. Louis, I mean, that's really gonna work out.
Some solid brushing time.
That is.
These are the things that you need to get out of
I've told my daughter, Sharon, I'll have the tangles so she gets in it. I don't know. I mean, that's just.
Yeah. It's a mystery.
It is. Obviously, we have nothing else to talk about tonight.
Once you go down that rabbit hole, it's very difficult to reel it in. We could talk about Tommy Pham, and that would maybe snap everyone out of it.
Yeah.
Because that seems to be a hot button issue already.
Yeah, it's a situation we don't know, and Tara and I talked about this beforehand, we don't know all the details. Sounds like there was a little bit of a kerfluffle, with Tommy Pham and some autograph signings. Sounds like it was more because of some unreasonableness of the people asking for autographs, but, you know, Tommy Pham is a lightning rod at times, but we don't know enough about that, and we do know about John Gant's hair.
Right.
Which is completely different now than the picture that's on his baseball reference page from his last year. So.
Which I also looked at.
I should have known Tara's done the investigative research on this.
Wonder.
Yeah, I was thinking, how did we not know about this? It didn't exist. So there you go. Yeah.
These are the things that the Cardinals caravan reveals that no one follows up on.
I don't know. I can't tell you. I
don't
know.
We really need baseball to start.
Apparently
that's,
so.
That's what needs to happen.
All right.
Where do you go from there? Where does one go from John Gant's hair?
You just say, hey, we'll be back with you in a week or so, probably. Try to get a couple more shows in before spring training. He might talk about something besides John Gant's hair. We don't really know. Maybe not. Maybe we'll have
more info by
that's
then.
That's right. Maybe Tara will, you know, use her freedom of information.
See, he doesn't have Twitter, so I can't even ask him directly.
Ah, but wait a minute. Somebody does.
Somebody should, right?
Because I have a John Gant that follows me, and I think it's like his dad or something.
Maybe I can ask his dad. That's not creepy at all.
No, it's not at all. Let's see.
What hair products does your son use?
John C. Gant. Who apparently follows you because he retweeted you.
Oh boy.
He retweeted you about John Gant's hair, so. You
know. Yes! Oh, that's funny. I didn't even realize. See, when I first tweeted this screenshot from the Snapchat, picture, it sort of took off and I didn't even realize that, you know, there he is. John C. Gant retweeted it.
Yeah. So. he's definitely related in some way. I don't know if it's a father. I don't know if it's just a guy that has John Gant and he's just very interested in John Gant because they have the same name, but I gotta feel like that there's a connection.
Yeah.
So, you
we'll work on this. You might send
a DM, because, yeah.
The worst you can do is unfollow me, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I think that, yeah, I mean, he's big. He's big on John Gant. I think everything I see here is
all about John Gant. There is an interview from September with Randall Grichuk and John Gant, and I do remember noting his hair at that point. But again, under the hat, you don't get it in its full glory.
Well, it looks bushier there.
Yeah,
you know, more like the low hanging afro type thing,
right? Yeah.
Which is not at all the Fabio style that he's got going now. So.
I just want to point out that it's 5 minutes after we were trying to end the show, and we're still talking about his hair.
Well, that's okay. Nobody's listening anyway, so it's not like we're going to lose listeners. So, but anyway.
I don't know. Maybe John C. Gant is listening.
That's true.
If you are, if John C. I need Gant's answers.
Listening, if John C. Gant's listening, given his Twitter feed, he's probably listened to the show like 2 or 3 times.
True. Maybe he has all the answers that we need.
I hope so. I hope so.
I'm going to tag John C. Gant in the link when we tweet it out and ask him for all the answers about the wonder that is John Gant's hair.
Yes. This is John Michael Gant. So we do know it is a different guy. It's not the picture that has an obsession with himself, retweeting everything about himself. It's John. This is John Michael Gant. Is the picture. So John C. Gant, probably a proud dad, and he should be.
I mean, look at that hair. Well, I would be a proud parent.
I was going with the fact that his son's a major leaguer,
there's that too.
But yeah, the hair, obviously, that's the direction.
I would like to point out that almost everything he's retweeted is about his hair, not about baseball. Well,
to be fair, there's not a lot of things about John Gant to retweet, especially in the winter.
Slim pickings in. Yeah. I mean, whatever January, what, I never even know what day it is anymore.
January 14th.
That's the one.
1 month till spring training. And people are probably thinking, and you're going to be talking that entire month about John Gant's hair because you've been doing it for 20 minutes now. So,
you know, it's possible, but I will try to find something else as interesting as John Gant's hair.
I mean, they think we're literally going to talk for the next month, like without sleep.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it only feels like that.
Yes.
All right.
We should probably.
Yeah. Until next time, whenever next time may be, I'm Daniel and that's Tara. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.